You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast coming from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we invite you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's broadcast. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for our living, risen Lord, and we're thankful for your love that brought him into this world to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer. And we are thankful for the privilege of sharing this glorious message of the resurrection with our congregation today. We're trusting that the Holy Spirit will use us, will use our broadcast, and make it a blessing to souls. If there be those listening to our service today who know thee not, may thy Spirit convict them, may thy Spirit draw them, that they too might know the power of the resurrected Christ in their lives. This we pray In Jesus' name, amen.
Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had taken the body of Jesus down off of the cross, wrapped it in grave clothes, and laid it in Joseph's new tomb. A stone was rolled over the mouth, and a seal was placed on it. Still, the high priest was not satisfied. He wanted Pilate to place guards at the tomb. But Pilate said to him, You have a watch. You go your way and make it as sure as you can. On the first day of the week, certain women went to the tomb to anoint the body and found the tomb, the stone rolled away, and the tomb empty. The women were afraid, but the angels of the Lord told them that they should not be afraid, and then they asked them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again." The women went and told the 11 and all the rest. The disciples did not believe the women at first, and so they did not steal the body away, as some people would have you to believe, and as the soldiers were bribed to say, because they questioned the women when they said he had been raised from the dead. However, Peter and John goes to the tomb and finds it empty and the grave clothes there. Mary Magdalene, who had been there earlier, returned alone, and later she sees a man through one was gardening, or at least she thought he was a gardener, and she asked him whether he had removed the body, and if so, tell her where he had placed it. Her eyes were filled with tears, and so her vision was not really clear. And the one that she thought was the gardener said to her, "Mary," and she cried out, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus talked to her for a few moments, and then she went to the disciples and told them that she had seen the Lord. Later that day, Jesus joins two of the disciples on their way to Emmaus, and he asked them what they were talking about. Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there these days?" And Jesus said, "What things?" "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. Beside all of this, today is the third day since these things were done. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." They went on, and they arrived at Emmaus, and Jesus made as he would go on. But the two disciples constrained him to stop and to have a meal with them. They did not realize who he was, but they still insisted that he stop and have a meal with them. So while they were sitting there at the table eating the meal, Jesus opened their eyes, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said, "My, didn't our hearts burn within us as we walked along the way and he expounded the scriptures to us?" They got up from the table, and they rushed back to Jerusalem and found the disciples saying to them, "The Lord is risen." Later that evening, Jesus appeared to the 10 in the upper room. The next week, on the first day of the week, he appeared to the 11 again. Thomas, who was not with them the first time, and had said, when he was told that Jesus was risen, "I won't believe it unless I'm able to put my fingers in his hand, put my hand in his side." So this time, the second time Jesus appeared to them on the first day of the week, Thomas was there with them. And so he said to Thomas, "Come and put your hand in my side." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Thomas, you believe because you have seen. Blessed are they who believe who have not seen." So I'm one of those among the blessed who believe although I have not seen. Jesus spent 40 days with them. He appears to Peter and other disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He had told them that he would meet them there in Galilee, and so he did. But Peter had gone back to fishing, and they had fished all night, hadn't caught a thing. And Jesus asked them, "Have you caught anything?" They didn't know who he was, but they said, "No, we haven't caught a thing. We've fished all night." Jesus said to Peter, "Cast your net on the other side." And what a haul of fish they got. And then they said to themselves, among themselves, "It's Jesus." And so they brought their haul of fish to the shore. And Jesus, who had prepared them breakfast, said, "Come and dine." Yes, he had already fixed breakfast for them. And he said, "Come and dine." And then he asked Peter about whether you love me or not. "Do you love me more than these?" And he asked him that three times. And Peter was grieved the third time. And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Before Jesus ascended back to the Father, he said to the disciples, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Luke 24:46. Later, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Matthew 28:18-19. There on the backside of the Mount of Olives, while Jesus had told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they would be endued with power from on high, all of a sudden, without giving them by, he was lifted up, and they looked up into the heavens, and a cloud received him out of their sight. An angel stood there, and they said to them, "Why stand ye here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, whom you have seen go into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go." He left them unexpectedly, and he's coming again unexpectedly, but he is coming. Luke starts the book of Acts, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion," or in other words, after his death, "by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Acts 1:1-3. On the day of Pentecost, when the people accused them of being drunk with wine, Peter said, "These men are not drunken with wine as you suppose. This is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet, that in the latter days God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Peter went on to say to them that, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Acts chapter 2, verses 22, 23, and 24. Peter went on to say, This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Verse 32. Would 3,000 people have been converted if they knew that Peter was telling them a falsehood? Would they have believed, or would they have acted upon it? Of course not. Peter and John go to the temple at the hour of prayer, and a lame man is there at the gate begging. And Peter said to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he reached down and lifted the lame man up, and he leaped and walked and praised God. And of course, this got the multitude's attention, and they began to wonder and how this was. And Jesus said to them, "You denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. And it is through him that this man stands here before you whole." And as a result of that marvelous miracle, 5,000 more were saved. And again, Peter reminded them of the resurrected Christ. Peter and John was called before the high priest and questioned about the healing of the lame man. And Peter answered, according to the scriptures, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by the what means he is made whole, be it known unto you of all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him." Romans 6 and 9. "And Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys to hell and of death." Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. Why so much emphasis put on the resurrection? Well, Jesus said that was the only sign he would give them that he was the Messiah. If he was not resurrected, he was not the Messiah, and we have no Savior. Further, God the Father and God the Son told falsehoods, for both of them said that he would be resurrected. And of course, we know that the Son of God and the Heavenly Father in no way could lie. God, which cannot lie. And Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And so we know that both of them spoke the truth. Now, when we think about the resurrection and the necessity of the resurrection, I'd like to call your attention to some passages, some verses of Scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of God at Corinth. Chapter 15, reading from verse 3, "For I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas," that's Peter, "then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time. But some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." Dropping down to verse 12, we continue our reading. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins." Let me repeat this 17th verse, and we again emphasize the importance of the resurrection as far as our salvation is concerned. "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins." Dropping down to verse 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them which slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Now we must believe in the resurrection to be saved. I repeat, we must believe in the resurrection to be saved. We read in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." In other words, if you do not believe that Christ has been raised from the dead, then you are not saved. You must believe in the resurrection of Christ the Messiah to be saved from your sins. For as I have already read from Acts chapter 4, where Peter said that Jesus Christ was the only one, the only name given under heaven among men, whereby we may be saved. So, beloved, if you do not believe in the resurrection, you do not have salvation. For Jesus Christ came into this world, suffered and bled and died upon the cross of Calvary to shed his blood. But it took more than that. Yes, it took the blood of Christ, for it is the blood that cleanses from sin. But it also takes the believing in the resurrection. We must believe that he not only died on the cross, but that he rose again the third day, just like he told the disciples as they were journeying up to Jerusalem, when he took them aside and told them that he was going up to Jerusalem and there that he would be crucified and turned over to wicked men and Gentiles, and on the third day he would rise from the dead. And beloved, he did. I am truly thankful today for the risen Christ that rules and reigns in my own heart and in my own life. And I am thankful that we have the privilege of sharing the gospel and the resurrection message with you today. Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts and these scriptures to our precious congregation, and good will be accomplished. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And the tide is all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hear the news of every land. Harvest fields across the land. Farmers lift our Lord's banner.
Thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. It would be an encouragement to us if you would let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. And our mailing address is the Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's the Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. We invite you to be with us in our regular services. Our services are broadcast over the Internet, and our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, our evening service at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. You may also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine on our webpage, or listen to some past broadcasts you may have missed. Again, our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast.